Larry, would you do me a favor and dim all the house lights for just a second? I want to make sure that we can see this environmental projection here. Jeremy went yesterday and took a picture of the field, and we were able to put that up here. So now as we look out, we're going to pretend that's where we are. All right? Thank you, Larry. As you know, that first Sunday after the explosion, we couldn't get to the church in time to plan and prepare and make sure that we were ready to go for Sunday morning service. So Westfest was kind enough to work with us and allow us the opportunity to use that parking lot over there. So we moved in over there and called a party place in Waco, and they came and set up, I don't remember now, was it 400 or 500? 500 chairs out there. And by the way, they didn't charge us for that. We decided that we were going to just pay the workers who actually lined up the chairs, and they'd get paid individually. And if I remember correctly, most of those guys turned that down too. Columbus Avenue Baptist Church loaned us a sound system, but not only did they loan us a sound system, they loaned us a sound dude too. And the sound dude came and set it all up for us and ran it beautifully. We had our flatbed trailer out there. Some of the deacons had prepared that, to built steps and rails around so the preacher didn't fall off and make a fool of himself. And it was a beautiful time. And you understand how I mean that. We were facing the most tragic event of all of our lives, and yet there was something beautiful about that place at that time. That flatbed trailer became an altar, and those folding party chairs became pews. That parking lot became holy ground, and we were able to worship together. It was important that we do that for a couple of reasons. Leading up to that time, I had countless phone calls. Are we going to have church? And all I knew to say at first was, we're having church. I don't know how, but we're having church. And it was important for us to make that happen for two reasons. One, because we're family. Family needs each other at a time like that more than any other. But secondly, it was important for us to do that because God is always worthy of our worship. You see, we can't just worship Him when things are going well, because that says it's really about us. If our worship really is about an almighty God, He is always almighty, therefore always worthy of our worship. And so we decided somewhere along the way that we were going to meet there every year on the Sunday after the 17th. This year it just so happens the 17th fell on a Sunday, and we decided that was the right day to do it. You say, well, why are we doing that every year? Let's go back to the Old Testament. The children of Israel are freed from Egypt. They wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. Finally comes the time that they are able to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And when it's time to cross that Jordan River into the promised land, they're instructed, each tribe get a big stone. And we're going to put all 12 stones in a big stack, in a big pile. And for generations, when the children come by and say, what do those stones mean? We'll be able to tell the story of how God set us free from Egypt, led us through the wilderness, and brought us to the promised land. And so, my friends, that's why we meet outside every year the Sunday after the 17th, so that when people say, "Why are y'all here?" we'll be able to tell the story of how God has brought us through, of how He has blessed us, and how we will continue to follow Him the rest of our days. I want us to think together this morning about going through fire and water. Going through fire and water. In Psalm 66 at verse 12, the last part of that great verse says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." Went through fire, that which engulfs us. We went through water, that which overwhelms us. A fire and a flood, perhaps the worst things that we could think of having to go through. You and I can stand with confidence today and say, we've been through the worst. We went through fire and water. But you brought us to a place of abundance. We're always going to remember that first Sunday that we got together. Because, you know, emails and phone calls and texts, "Are you okay? I'm okay. Have you heard from so-and-so? They're all right. They're living here. They moved there." Those are all okay. It helped to make those phone calls and have those emails. But there's nothing quite the same as seeing that person that we care about face to face and hugging on them and knowing we're together. We're always going to remember that experience. When we have this time every year, we're not going to dress up, because on that Sunday, a lot of us couldn't dress up. We couldn't get to our clothes. Ashley and Lisa had to get one of those Walmart gift cards that people were handing out. They went to Walmart and bought me some new britches and some new shoes just so I could stand in front of you and preach. I had to go to the place over there at Westfest to get a hat because my bald head was burning. We're always going to remember that day, because it was a day that God showed up. And He said to His people, "We're going to get through this together." We'll always remember the lives that were lost. We will always show honor and respect to all of those who lost their lives. We'll always remember the devastation, the destruction. We will remember the fear, the anger, and the pain. But it is our job as believers to make sure that no one forgets how God brought us through all of that and how He's still working to bring healing and wholeness to our community and our families and our lives. And we're going to do that. We're going to keep telling the story so no one forgets what He's done. With His help, we have traveled the trail of tragedy, and we have triumphed. With His help, we have passed on the pathway of pain and have persevered. With His help, we have strolled the street of sorrow and have succeeded. With His help, we have walked the way of the wounded and have won. We went through the fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. Sometimes the most powerful words in Scripture are the smallest words. So often it's that little word, B-U-T, where Scripture presents the issue, the problem, the concern. It presents the past. And then there is that glorious word that says, "But something changed." We went through the fire and water, and we'll never forget it, nor will we ever make light of it. But You, Almighty God, brought us to a place of abundance. The psalmist had been through some things, and you can tell he's been through it. And his testimony is that God is good. Brought us through. Later on, Isaiah knew that God would take care of his people because God had done so much in the past. He had proved himself. So Isaiah knew that he would take care of his people. When the psalmist is writing this, he's really looking back and he's thinking about when the Israelites came out of Egypt and they had to go through so much. They were slaves there. They went through the wilderness. They were hungry. They were thirsty. There were fiery snakes that came around. There was this earthquake thing, this hole in the ground. They went through terrible times. And the psalmist is thinking about all that. We went through the worst of times, the fire and the water. Later on, Isaiah is writing, and he's remembering those stories, how God brought them through. And he's speaking to a group of people. He's speaking to the Israelites in the Babylonian captivity. And he's saying, friends, it's going to get bad. But when it gets bad, remember, he'll bring us through. And so Isaiah says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Isaiah learned from the psalmist and he learned from his history, and he was able to say to the people, when you go through the water, when you go through the fire, God says, I'll be with you and I'll take care of you each step along the way. Friends, notice the first word in that verse. You see it? When. I wish it said if. It's not a matter of if you go through the water and if you go through the fire. The point is when you go through the fire, when you go through the water. And I love you enough to tell you this morning that you're going to face the fire again. You're going to go through the floods again. Somewhere, somehow. We'll never have another fertilizer plant explosion in our town. But you're going to face trials. You're going to face difficulties. It's going to be hard. You're going to feel that anger, that pain, that resentment. You're going to question. It's going to be difficult. It's going to happen because that's a part of living on this fallen world. Life is messed up because we messed it up. But, don't you love that word? But, when you pass through the waters, God says, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they ain't going to sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. It will be difficult, but God is with us. And so how can we face those difficulties without fear? The very next verse in Isaiah 43, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That's why we can face the fire. That's why we can face the waters. Because it's not about us, it's about Him. And He is the Lord. The Lord has chosen to be our God. He is the Holy One of Israel. And in this context, when it says that He is our Savior, it means our deliverer, our protector. The first time that we worshiped outdoors, our theme was God is bigger than all of this. And He has proven that over and over and over, that He is bigger than our fires and our floods. Most of the houses that needed to be rebuilt have been rebuilt or will be soon. The nursing home is up and running and fully functioning, and it is gorgeous. The park looks fantastic. It's awesome. It's beautiful. It's great. Families are there every weekend, most evenings. Sokol, back up and running, looking great. Infrastructure, believe it or not, is making great progress. And is anticipated to be finished by early summer, probably June. The school is going to be ready by the first day of school. Our students are going to have a real place that they can call home. Folks, God is good and West is blessed. We've seen great healing physically, emotionally, spiritually. We've even seen a revival break out in our church. So much so that we quickly started reminding each other that God is good and West is blessed. There's more work to be done. There's more progress to make. But we know that we're going to get there because we can see how far He's brought us already. And He's not going to bring us this far to leave us. We went through fire and water, but You brought us to a place of abundance. He is the one who brings joy out of mourning, light out of darkness. He is the one who brings beauty out of ashes. He is our Redeemer, our fortress, our rock, our defender, our deliverer, our Savior, our shield, our Master, our Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. The very God who was in the fiery furnace with the Hebrew boys has been through this tragedy with us. And He has brought us to a place of abundance. The very one who brought Noah from a worldwide flood to a brand new world. The very one who brought Joseph from the pit to the palace. He is the very one who brought the Israelites from a land of slavery to a land of promise. He is the very one who brought Mordecai from a hangman's rope to the king's robe. He is the very one who brought Daniel from the lion's den to the king's courtroom. He is the very one who brought Lazarus from a cold, dark tomb to the light of life. He is the very one who brought Paul and Silas from singing songs in prison to sharing the gospel with the world. He is the very one who brought John from an island prison to the very gates of heaven itself. It is He and no other who has brought us to a place of abundance. We must never stop telling our story and giving God the glory. We must agree today, covenant together, that we're never going to stop telling our story, giving God the glory. Psalm 145 tells us why. It says, "One generation shall praise Your works to another and shall declare Your mighty acts. Men shall speak of the power of Your awesome acts, and I will tell of Your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of Your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of Your righteousness." Beloved, we have reason to shout. We have reason to rejoice. Not because we went through the fire and the water, but because although we went through the fire and the water, He has brought us to a place of abundance. And we will forever be grateful. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much. God, thank You for Your love. Thank you for your presence, your power. Forgive us when we take you for granted and forget our great need for you. Help us to remember what you've done so that we can face tomorrow with confidence. And may we always be the storytellers, the ones to bring you glory for what you've done. May we always be grateful. Father, we pray that you would walk through the rest of this day with us. This will be a difficult day in many ways. Walk through it with us as you have walked through so much already. Help us to sense your healing, your strength, your power, and your peace. And as we go through this day, help us to rejoice that we know the Almighty One who can protect His own out of love. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.